Welcome to the Story Story Night podcast, where you hear true stories on a theme, recorded live on stage and without notes. I'm your host, Jessica Holmes. Today, we honor the import of parental guidance, stories of direction and misdirection from Mom and Dad, from our May 2011 show, positioned squarely between Mother's Day and Father's Day. First, featured storyteller Emma Arnold employs an unconventional parenting tactic with her not-so-brave son.
Hi, I'm Emma Arnold, and I am a mother. I have three boys, and I don't know if you don't have kids, maybe you're not familiar with parenting. Three boys is generally what is considered a lot of boy. and I have good moments and bad moments. I'm usually a pretty good mom. Sometimes we have soda and Cheetos for dinner. Sometimes I yell things loud enough for the neighbors to hear, like, we don't use toilet seats as weapons! Things of that nature. But what I wanted to share with you tonight is this, what I think is one of my finer parenting hours. But to tell this story, I have to use the F word. So I'm just going to, I know there's a few kids, earmuffs, okay? I'll warn you before I'm about to say it. We'll put our earmuffs on, okay? So my kids are 8, 6, and 3, and my 8-year-old is named Calvin Courage Arnold. And he has not lived up to his name. Not the Calvin part, you know, the courage part. He is very fearful, so he didn't try to walk for the first time until he was almost 2, and he did not go down the slide at the park until he was almost 4. He is afraid of bugs, the dark, wet grass, you know, because it can get your pants wet, you know. He's a very fearful boy, but I love him, and I try to accept him for who he is, because I am afraid of things. I am irrationally afraid of sharks in swimming pools, so I understand irrational fear. I know it. But when he was 5, I got him a bike, and of course, he's probably channeling his first name, some Bill Watterson there, because he decided that he was terrified of the bike. Not just like, I'm scared to ride the bike, but I'm scared to have the bike in the yard. I'm scared to make eye contact with the bike. But I thought, you know, he'll get used to it. So the first year when he was 5, we kind of, you know, we walked it. We walked it around the block. I walked it around the block with him. We walked it to the park. It had training wheels. It's not like it was, you know, some death machine or anything. And I tried very hard to encourage him and be excited, because part of being a mom or a parent is that you have these kind of ideas in your head of like, when I'm a parent, we're going to, and my thing was, take family bike rides. So he had to learn how to ride the bike, because we also have these two other younger children, and he's like, I'll just ride in the trailer forever. And I'm like, you're getting almost as tall as me. That's not going to work. So didn't happen the first year when he was 5. Didn't get on the bike. That's fine. Then he's 6. It's the next summer. He's still terrified of the bike. And I try bribing him. I'll say, what if I buy you a video game? If you can ride your bike with the training wheels around the block, I will buy you this video game that you want. And he, you know, approaches the bike. And he tries. And he really, like, he does try. But he's still terrified of the bike. So I kind of at some point, after, you know, pushing behind and being very patient and being encouraging, it's just a bike, it's not a really terrifying thing, I decide I'm going to accept him for who he is, and he's afraid of bikes, and so I bought him a scooter. And so we would, you know, do our family thing, and he'd be behind us on the scooter, and we'd stop and be like, come on, you need to catch up on the scooter. But I decided it's fine, so we got over it, no big deal, he's not going to ride the bike. But then this year, his brother got a bike for his birthday. His brother's 6. And he got on the bike, and he figured out how to ride the bike immediately. Like, I tried to do, you know, you could do the thing, and you hold the seat, and you're running behind, and he's like, don't touch me, I got this. And I'm like, no, you're going to be a little tippy. No, I'm fine. Don't touch my bike. And he, immediately, like, he started pedaling. He fell, like, twice, and then he was just gone. and he's going, and he's just riding his bike, and it's so natural, and I can see my 8-year-old is like... Because as long as the other kids couldn't ride a bike, well, bikes are impossible, right? Nobody in this family can ride a bike. But now his brother can ride a bike, and so it changes his mind, and he comes to me and he says, I want to learn to ride the bike. I want to do it. And I say, okay, let's do this. And I'm so excited, because a bike to me sort of is essential for childhood. And he's so fearful about so many things, and he hates to be outdoors, and he hates to, you know, feel the sun on his skin, and those sort of things. And so I want him to get on a bike. I want him to find this daring freedom. I want him to scrape his knee and get into mischief and, you know, go around the block and me yell and be like, you're not supposed to go around the block. Rah. We live right, you know, by the mall, rah, you know. So I want this for him so bad. So we practice. And he's not faking. He is on the bike and he is so afraid. And he is like shaking and he can't pedal. And I'm like, so yeah, part of the bike is that to go forward, we're going to have to put our feet on the pedals and we're going to have to push them. And he's like, I can't. And, you know, we try everything. We put the training wheels back on, but that's tippy. We take them off. That's really tippy. So finally, after like 3 weeks of no success and you know, with my 6-year-old, I'm riding the bike. I'm riding the bike. You still can't ride your bike yet. Oh, my God. You know. And he's really having a hard time with it. He's really embarrassed, and he's really sad. So I take him to the park, and I think maybe if he rides in the grass, and he falls in the grass, he'll realize that you don't, like, shatter every bone in your body when you fall off a bike. You don't die from riding a bike. And so we get going a couple times, and I push him, and he can't even pedal. He just freezes. And then the bike, of course, falls over, and he falls over, and then he's like, it hurts, I told you. And I'm really frustrated. So finally, after about an hour, okay, and also, so people at the park are watching me. And all they see is this mother, like, making this poor crying child ride this bike. You will ride the bike. And I'm sure I just look like a monster because I'm like, just get back on, you know. So finally, so the F word's coming up, just, okay. So finally, I have this sort of epiphany that he, to be brave, is going to need to forget to be so fearful of the bike. And so he's in the dirt. He's laying on the ground. He's kind of, you know, oh, I'm defeated. And I say, stand up. And he does. And I say, put your hands on your hips. And he does. And I say, put your shoulders back and your head up. And he does. And he's kind of looking at me like, what? And I say, what is your name? Calvin Courage Arnold. And I'm like, no, I'm sorry, what is your name? Calvin Courage Arnold. Okay, so earmuffs if you need them. I told him, here's what you're going to do is you're going to repeat after me, word for word. Okay? My name is Calvin Courage Arnold, and today I ride this fucking bike. Okay? And he's like, I'm not going to say that. Nope, not gonna do it. And I'm like, say it. Put your hands on your hips and say it. And so he says, I'm coming on the fucking bike. And I say, no, say it. Say it so everybody at the park can hear you. I want everybody here to know that you are Calvin Courage Arnold. And today, what? Today, what? I'm gonna ride this fucking bike. So he gets up and he is kind of like, well, this is a different tactic than we have tried before. And he gets on the bike, and he falls immediately. Dust, you know, scat, you know, we're getting grass stains again. And I say, stand up. Say it again. And he's like, really? Because that's like 3 F words I've used today, which is generally considered a lot, so. And I'm like, no, say it. Come on, say it. So he stands up, and every time he falls, I say it. He stands up, and he says it. And after like 15 tries, he rides the bike. He rides it. I know. And you know what? The people at the park were cheering. Everybody was like, yay! Stop tormenting that poor child. Go home. And he wrote it, and he wrote it back and forth and back and forth across the grass, and he was so excited and so happy. And I could see that he was just so proud of himself and that he had had an epiphany that he didn't have to be afraid of the bike. Maybe he didn't have to be afraid of everything. Maybe it wasn't such a scary world. And so I felt like he really learned an amazingly valuable lesson, and it's something I wanted to share with you. And that is, if you're afraid to do something, and if you've tried and you've failed, and you failed and you failed and you failed and you failed. If you're afraid to do something and you can't do it, it's probably because you're not cussing enough. Yeah. Try an F word, because that works wonders. Thank you.
Now it's your turn to ride that story bike, so to speak. Brave up. Let loose. You can even drop the F-bomb if it works in your story. Become a featured storyteller in June and be blown away by the pure exhilaration of the experience. We've just extended the submission deadline to Friday, so no excuses. Simply submit a summary of your true story on the theme, Air, Stories of Being Blown Away, to storystorynight@live.com by June 10th. Next, Story Slam winner Cherie Whiteley experiences the subtleties of maternal guile, south of the border style.
Hi everyone, I'm Cherie, and when I heard the theme for this night's Story Night, I instantly had a story of my own come to mind. I should probably preface this by saying that I love my mother more than anyone ever could. and the older I get, the more I appreciate her. In November, I'll be happy to be officially mid-20s. And when my mom was my exact age, she was widowed with two kids and a 300-cow dairy farm. And meanwhile, I'm doing self-discovery, traveling, and just having a lot of fun. So I have a great appreciation for her and everything she did. That being said, when I was about 8 years old, my little sister, she's 2.5 years younger, and my mom, her then husband, and I took a trip to SoCal, I think maybe San Diego or something, and decided it would be really fun to get on a bus that goes to Tijuana. And so she first developed my distaste for dive bars by stopping somewhere near the border, and I was a little bit of a germophobic child and wouldn't even touch anything, let alone eat anything. So we went to Mexico with me starving and probably very cranky. And we got across the border, and I remember the little children coming up to us and trying to sell us Chiclets. Hey, Brady Bunch, Chiclets, Chiclets. Because apparently we were the Brady Bunch in Tijuana. And my mom noticed that after we looked at all the artisans and everything, I really wanted a little ukulele. I don't know why, it just seemed like the greatest thing ever, and maybe my Barbies could play it. And my mom said, well, I'm going to use this to teach you how to barter. So she had me hold out my little hand and put a bunch of coins in it and said, now, Cherie, look at them with your big eyes and say, this is all the money I have. And see what happens. So, needless to say, it worked and set a dangerous precedent for much of my young adulthood, resulting in good grades and getting out of trouble and all sorts of mischief. But I did get my ukulele for probably about $1.25. And my sister wanted a marionette puppet. Well, she was too young to learn to barter, so we just bought her that. And we get in the line to go to customs. And my mom, maybe she had some tequila, I don't really know, decides to scare the living hell out of us and tells us, girls, you know that marionette puppet head is probably filled with cocaine. And Cherie, your ukulele probably has something dangerous in it too. And these people, and she points to the men in uniform at the border that are going to examine everything we have, they're probably going to put you in jail in Mexico. And we're going to have to come bail you out. And my sister and I, after being utterly stunned, the tears just start flowing because we're little girls and we don't understand what it all means. And so it kind of backfired on her, and she ended up consoling us for about an hour. And by the time we got across the border, everything was fine, but I will never, ever forget that. So I applaud my mother for having some fun, admittedly at my expense, but with her being such a fighter and just such an amazing person, I could never fault her for it. So I guess my parental guidance lesson is have some fun with your kids, but make sure they're okay and enjoy your life. So thank you.
Thank you for listening. Story Story Night is brought to you by presenting partners, the Boise State Story Initiative, venue partner, the Linen Building, design partner, Neighborhood All-Stars, and our broadcast partner, Boise State Public Radio. Please donate now at radio.boisestate.edu. Our Story Story Night theme and podcast production are by Dan Costello. Hear more at hearcostello.com. Please join us next week for more stories from Parental Guidance. Learn more at storystorynight.org.